Joe always asks prospective tenants if they have a pet. It's on his rental application form, and it is a question he puts to them directly. Most people answer truthfully if they do have a pet. Then he simply says he doesn't rent the property to tenants with pets. Where his all-business attitude comes in is when the prospective tenants say something like, "Well, we really like the rental, so we'll get rid of our pet." His standard reply is, "I would never rent to people who would get rid of their pet." It's hard for a pet owner rental applicant to argue with this. When I asked him about this response, that he wouldn't rent to prospective tenants even if they agreed to get rid of their pet, he answered, "People don't get rid of their pets. When I was first in the business, I used to believe them. Then I discovered that a few weeks or months into the rental term, the pet would reappear. A person who has a pet simply won't leave it behind. They just say they will to get the rental. So I don't rent to them." That's his opinion. By the way, it's important to understand that Joe has a pet terrier named Charlie, which he loves, and he would never get rid of Charlie. Joe also exhibits his business attitude when it comes time to collect the rent. If a tenant is more than a day or two late, he immediately goes to see that tenant in person. Unless it's an oversight, which it sometimes is, he insists that the rent be paid immediately. I have watched Joe in situations like this, and he is all business. While tenants sometimes don't have the rent, they always have an excuse. They had a medical emergency, or their relatives needed support, or they were late getting paid from their work, or they threw a terrific party with the rent money, or... Joe responds, "I understand you have problems, but the rent must come first. You will always need a roof over your head, and it won't be there if you don't pay your rent. No matter what your problem, you must pay the rent first." He explains that he's found that people always have some money available in reserve. It's just a matter of priorities. If the landlord is willing to wait, they'll put something else first. But if the landlord insists that he or she be paid first, then the rent becomes the number one priority and gets paid on time. Of course, if the tenants really cannot pay, then Joe insists that they move out. But, as I said, he's fair. I've seen him give tenants $500 to help them move when they were in a really distraught situation. On the other hand, I've seen him quickly go to court to get an unlawful detainer action, eviction, when tenants wouldn't cooperate or even discuss the problem with him. Does Joe rent relentlessly? Yes. He makes sure that he always gets his rent on time. If he didn't, he wouldn't own as many properties as he does, or be as wealthy as he is. Is he unfair? I've never seen him to be. He provides good, clean properties at a fair rental price. He simply expects to be paid in return. If tenants have problems, he sympathizes, but he does not make their problems into his own by allowing late rent. Will you, as a landlord, need to be as relentless as Joe? Probably not. I find that I'm much more of a softy than he is. But then again, he owns a lot more properties than I do. 5. Sell and buy on your own. When you're getting started, you definitely need all the help you can get. That includes the services of a good, experienced broker. However, once you've established yourself in real estate, you may want to consider handling deals on your own. The reason, as described in Chapter 5, is the high transaction cost, mainly the commission to the agent. An agent's fee is usually 6% for residential property, as much as 10% for some investment properties such as apartment buildings, strip malls, and so on. If you can handle the transaction yourself, that could be money in your pocket. And it works both when buying and selling. When buying directly from the seller, you may get a price reduction for at least part, if not all, of what would otherwise be an agent's fee. When selling, there's no commission to pay if you don't use an agent. However, it's important to understand that agents earn their fees. If you don't use an agent, you will have to do his or her work. That includes the following. When selling, advertise the property to find a buyer. When buying, scout to find a suitable property. Negotiate directly with the other party. Write up the purchase agreement. Handle all the paperwork. Open and manage the escrow accounts. Arrange for financing. Close the transaction. It sounds like a lot, but once you're experienced with many deals under your belt, it will all seem doable. In fact, most experienced investors I know regularly scout out and buy properties at advantageous prices all on their own. 6. Hold for market highs and the art of holding. In this book, we talk a lot about buying and selling real estate. In doing so, you may have gotten the impression that this is what successful investors do all the time without regard for anything else. Nothing could be further from the truth. The savvy investor pays very close attention to both the overall financial condition of his or her area and the country, as well as the real estate market, and in particular, whatever segment they are in. In the residential market, investors were selling high-priced property after the turn of the century when others were buying them. The reason was that prices had risen to historic highs, and the investors were sometimes selling for a 200% profit. Of course, in order to sell, the investors had to have first purchased. These same investors had bought these properties during the severe real estate recession of the early 1990s. At that time, prices had fallen by as much as a third of earlier values in many areas. Bargains galore were out there, and the savvy investors picked them up, rented out the properties, and held them until times got better. As I said, it was an obvious move, but relatively few people actually did it. The reason was that in 1999 to 2002, when prices were shooting up, most people wanted to buy, hoping to resell at even higher prices. And in 1995 to 1997, when prices were collapsing, few wanted to buy for fear that prices would go even lower. The truth of the matter is that most people buy and sell at just the wrong times, spurred on by the emotion of the market. A successful real estate investor, however, will put emotion aside and buy when prices are low, sell when they are high, and hold until the right time. All of which is to say that while it's important to be in the market, it's equally important not to churn your properties. You don't want to sell just for the sake of selling. Being able to wait out the real estate cycle until prices move up — eventually prices will almost certainly move up in most real estate markets because of inflation and housing shortages — is in fact much of the key to success in real estate. However, being able to hold means that you must have stable properties. This gets us back to the concept of the break-even. You will find that you can't hold onto a property with a serious negative cash flow. While you may grit your teeth and hang onto one or even two such properties, a dozen will quickly drive you to bankruptcy. Therefore, to reiterate, your goal should be to buy properties for which the income comes close to matching expenses. That is, those properties that you can sit on for years, if necessary, until prices go up and you can sell for a profit. However, even the best investor sometimes buys a property that turns out to be a dog. No matter what he or she tries, the property loses money each month. When that happens, my philosophy is to dump the dog. 7. Keep your day job. The best way to invest in real estate is to do it on the side and in your spare time. The reason is that you won't have much positive cash flow in the early years. Investing in real estate can be a no-brainer. It's a matter of simply acquiring properties one at a time until you're wealthy. You just have to make a few sacrifices, such as initially keeping your day job, to accomplish it. Here, then, are the 7 techniques that I have found almost all successful real estate investors use. 1. Concentrate your efforts. 2. Spend more time buying than selling, and be prepared to lose deals. 3. Identify the neighborhood loser and buy it. 4. Rent relentlessly. 5. Buy and sell on your own. 6. Hold for market highs. 7. Keep your day job.